Title today is God Gave Us Jesus. I just want you to turn and remind the person next to you that God gave you Jesus. Just say, God gave us Jesus. Just turn and tell somebody, God gave us Jesus. Amen. John 3:16, we've all heard it over and over and over again. But it's one of those wonderful scriptures we need to review, to revisit, and to just dwell on. And I want to dwell on these thoughts a little bit today. The NIV says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Hallelujah. The Amplified Version, which I like to look at when I'm studying, says, "For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world." There's a sermon right there. That's not the one I'm going to preach today, but there's a sermon right there, just what God really thinks about you. He even gave up his only begotten and unique Son, so that whoever believes in, trusts in, clings to, and relies on him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal and everlasting life. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. We've been talking a while now about several principles the last couple of weeks. We talked about the principle of worship. We talked about sowing and reaping. We talked about giving and receiving. You know, the kingdom of God is based on principles. There are certain things God says, if you will do this, this is what's going to happen. And I think too many times we want to have the end result without first accomplishing what God told us to do. Amen? You know, I was talking with a brother yesterday about worship, and I'm just really stuck on this. I've been stuck on this thing for 30 years. I don't think I'm ever going to change my opinion on it. But I read in the Bible, it says, I will inhabit the praises of my people. And I've taken that as a literal statement from God. And even though he was saying that to Israel directly, because of my new birth, I am part of Israel. I'll teach that someday. But when we hold up our hands and we hold up our hearts, we begin to sing and worship God. The Bible says, according to my understanding of that, I will come and move into that. Do you ever notice that when we're worshiping and singing, do you ever notice that something changes? Something in your heart, something in your mind. You can almost kind of reach out and touch. There's just like something in the air. I really believe that that's the fulfillment of that scripture. I will inhabit the praises of my people. But if we want the presence, the Shekinah glory, first we got to worship. Amen? We got to do our part, and God will do his. How many remember the Old Testament when Solomon built the temple? I mean, he put a lot of work, he put a lot of money, a lot of effort, and his own finances, by the way, into the temple. And when they got ready to dedicate it, this is my favorite part of the temple story. All the ministers got up. This is a humbling story for ministers. They got up and it said the Shekinah glory was so strong in the temple, the ministers couldn't minister. Hallelujah. When God comes into the place, you don't have to say anything. You don't have to do anything. God is on the move. Amen. But these are principles that you and I need to live our lives by. We spoke 2 weeks ago about how that when God sent Jesus, he revealed the good news of that world-shattering birth to the shepherds in the fields. See, God is a God of revelation. God will take the lowly. God will take the rejected. God will take the broken. You notice he didn't go to King Herod. He didn't go to the palace. He didn't go to the princess. He went to the lowly ones of that time and announced to them, behold, there's a child being born. And then sent those people to have the first ever birthday party with Jesus in a stable. Hallelujah. There was no rock stars there. There was no political people there. It was just the shepherds, the holy family, and all of the glory of God all showed up in the stable all at one time. There's a principle involved here. God does not grab a hold of somebody and reveal something to them just because they're rich, just because they're famous, just because they have a special job. God will take the lowly. God will take the broken and reveal himself. Can someone say amen? We considered that the praise and worship that came from the shepherds to Christ was something that God had ordained. God told them, go and worship, go and see. Amen? We saw how God actually caused those shepherds to come and celebrate. And I added my two cents to it because I don't think that God wanted them to be alone. Hallelujah. Loneliness is not something from God. God wants his people to be celebrating people. We considered the fact that God wants us to celebrate. Yeah, when we come and sing songs, we come to worship, it's not a matter of, well, we got to do that again. No. God wants us to celebrate. Celebrate the birth of Christ. Now, Anybody heard of, there's a song on Caleb just the other day about the Christmas every day or the day after Christmas. The story of a little boy whose mom was packing up the Christmas decorations. And as she packed away all the bulbs, the tree and everything, she went to move the manger scene. So are we going to put Jesus away for the rest of the year? Just the question of a child didn't mean anything by it, but what a question. Are we going to put Jesus away now that we're past December 25th? Or are we going to celebrate him on a daily basis? Are we going to celebrate him every time we can come together? Hallelujah. Last week we looked at the principles of receiving from God and how that came about. We saw how the principle of sowing and reaping worked in our world today. We looked at the fact that we need to have, seeds have got to be sown if there's going to be growth. Amen? God rewards our passion. That's the seed we sow. When we sow into something, we sow into ministry, we sow into the community, we sow into evangelism. That's our passion. That's what we're. There are people under the sound of my voice, all you really care about is getting people saved. God bless you. That's your passion. There are others who want to teach. That's your passion. There's others who want to nurture. That's your passion. We're all concerned about getting people saved, but I'll be honest with you. My passion is getting to live a good life. I'm not an evangelist at heart. Someone else in here is. But we invest our time and energies and gifting into our passion, God rewards that. Amen? It's planting seeds that need to grow. If you want to grow a garden, listen, take this from experience. You got to have seeds. You just can't look at a piece of ground and say, I'm going to have tomatoes there in a few months, or I'm going to have cabbage. No, you got to get some seed into the ground. And sometimes we look at our lives, we look at the kingdom of God and say, why isn't it expanding? Because we need to plant some seeds. It's called sowing and reaping. Can anyone say amen? Hallelujah. We offer our gifts, our resources, and our lives in entirety to God. And God, in turn, uses our lives to bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to others. He uses you. He uses your resources. He uses your offerings to bring Jesus to others. In Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11, there's some more principles as we move on that I want to look at here. And it concerns the great harvest that you and I have been scheduled to be a part of. See, I don't know about you, but I'm quite convinced that the great harvest hasn't come yet. I believe there's at least one more great revival. Amen. And I believe that it's going to happen before I die. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I'm going to be a part of it. If you found it, let's read it together, or you can read on the board with me. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. It says, and so John came, baptizing in the desert region, and preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. The whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem went out to him, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John wore clothing made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. And he ate locusts and wild honey, and this was his message. After me will come one more powerful than I, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. At that time Jesus came from Nazareth in Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heaven open, being torn open, and the Spirit descending on him like a dove, and a voice coming from heaven, you are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. Hallelujah. One of the dangers of spending so many years reading and teaching out of the King James, I just did it there. I started to quote as I was reading. King James, I was quoting while I was reading the NIV. Hallelujah. Just so we understand here, the baptism of Jesus does not represent a claiming from sin. Okay, the baptism of John had two sides to it, which I'm not going to preach and teach on today. One was repentance of sin, but there was a public declaration. Being baptized in John's baptism is a public declaration of believing in the Messiah that was to come. When Jesus stepped up to the water, when Jesus stepped up for baptism, he did not need to be cleansed because he was sinless. There's something we need to understand about Jesus. Now, I'm going to hit on this back and forth as we go on here today. Jesus was not an ordinary man. Jesus was not just another prophet. He was not just another Messiah. He was the prophet of God. He is the Messiah of God. And he is totally perfect. Jesus did not have to be forgiven. Can someone say amen? Jesus came to this world without sin, lived without sin, and then took our sin away. But what it did instead was to allow Jesus to identify with the people he came to save. Come on, people. You know, how can you offer yourself, how can you offer help to someone until you can at least identify with them? Sometimes we do that in the church. We place ourselves above everybody. We wonder why we can't help people on the street, but we've made ourselves so holy that no one wants to be around us anymore. We have a bit of a problem there, I think. I'll preach on that another time. It signaled to everyone he was different. Jesus was totally different. Jesus, if you read this thing and think it through, this was a baptism like y'all never been to. I've officiated and been to lots of baptisms, and I've never seen something like this. Can you imagine for even a moment, in the middle of a baptism, a dove come flying down and lighting upon the baptizee. Get the right tense there. Had to think about that. And in the middle of your service, God begins to talk. Said, "This is my beloved son, whom I am well pleased." I guarantee you, Sister Marilee, when people on the riverbanks came to that baptism, they saw something they didn't expect to see and something they've never saw again. Amen? This was something unique because the man, Jesus, was unique and he was different. Hallelujah. God announced his pleasure with the success of his son. I was talking to someone about this the other day, and I just want to say this again quickly. Every Jew standing on the banks of the river knew exactly what that voice was saying. Whether they heard it, I'm not talking theologically. Every Jewish father at one point in life would take his son. When that son had learned all he needed to learn, when that son was ready to take over the family business, when that son was successful in the eyes of the father, he would take his son to the elders and pronounce in public, "This is my son. I am very pleased with him." So that when the skies opened and God spoke that over Jesus, every single Jewish father knew exactly what was going on. Jesus was now ready to enter into ministry. Can someone say amen? This whole event signaled the very beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. Please note here, no ministry. Someone say no ministry. No ministry can begin or succeed without the personal touch of the hand of God. You see, Jesus did nothing until God's hand was upon him. Jesus did nothing until the Holy Ghost was upon him. Jesus did nothing until the approval of God said, "Now is the time." Sometimes we seek out things ahead of the Lord. Sometimes we seek out and say, "Well, I can do this, and I don't need the anointing." Hallelujah. And the proof of it is, it doesn't succeed. All ministry must be blessed by God, or it's not ministry, it's dead works. Amen? We all need the baptism of the Holy Spirit before we attempt ministry. Now, I got to tell you, there's a lot of things that get birthed that don't make it in ministry. We need the presence, we need the baptism, we need the empowering of the Holy Ghost in order to fulfill the will of God in our lives. It's not good enough just knowing about the Holy Ghost. We got to know him personally. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. You can think about that with almost saying, "Oh, I know George W. Bush." Well, I know him by name. I've seen his picture. I ain't never met the man, though. You can know all about the Holy Ghost. You can read about him, but you've got to have a relationship. Amen? Holy Ghost has got to come upon you and fill you and anoint you. We need that baptism. The word baptism means to be totally surrendered or totally. It's a word to be like submerged, sunken like a ship. When a ship goes down, you ever watch the movies? The ship. That's baptism. That's baptismo. It's under the waves. It's under the water. Totally submerged in the power of God. Totally filled by the presence of the Holy Spirit before we attempt any ministry. Amen? In these verses that we read in Mark, we have an interesting thing here. These verses depict the Trinity more clearly than probably any other passage in the Bible. Now, I got to draw on something here and let you understand here that God created us with abilities to think in several dimensions. unless we have like Asperger's or something like that. We can all think in several dimensions. One of the problems I see in the church world today, we've done away with the whole idea of Trinity. We've boiled it down to just God. We no longer talk about a Trinity. We don't have that abstract vision of God anymore to understand that He is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And quite honestly, I lived in a part of the nation a few years ago that the Holy Ghost was just a generic term and a clinical term, I should say, that was used in the Bible studies, but was not allowed to move anywhere in the area we lived. And I once, very stupid that I was, young and foolish, not young anymore. But in my young and foolish days, I looked at the man and said, in other words, you have two-thirds of a Savior. Ooh-wee, he got mad at me. Couldn't understand that. I told him, you believe in God, you believe in the Son, but whatever happened to the Holy Ghost? And that man got mad at me. Hallelujah. And I wasn't trying to be rude. I just plain was. I wanted to let him know there was more to this thing. Amen? We can see in Mark chapter 1, all three members of the Trinity in action. We see Jesus being baptized. The Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit, depending upon him. Don't get confused. I interchange those. Holy Ghost and Holy Spirit is the same person. And the Father speaking from heaven. Just as Jesus was beginning his ministry, God made it very clear. Hallelujah. God don't want you confused. God wants to make it clear. God made it clear that Jesus was doing exactly what God wanted him to do. See, that's why when the heavens opened, he said, I'm pleased with what he's doing. I'm giving him my approval. You know, you can say what you want about my next statement, but we all need that approval of God. I'm not trying to say we need to work it up and make sure God loves us, because he does. He loves us no matter how we work. But if we're going to do something for him and we want success, we need his approval. Just as Jesus did nothing without the approval of the Father. Now, you all can wrestle that. You got a whole week to think about that. Hey, man. But God says, I'm really pleased because you're doing what I want you to do. Now, I don't know about you, but I need and I covet the approval of God. Now, you can say what you want about that, but I need it. I need the anointing of the Holy Ghost to do the works of God successfully. I think any of us can do a job poorly. If anybody here has a business, you know what it's like to hire people who do their job poorly. Hey, man. Businessmen and bosses aren't looking for people to do a poor job. They want someone who does a good job. And if you do a good job, you'll get paid for it. You'll get blessed for it. Can someone say amen? I got something trying to grab my throat here. Hang on. Hallelujah. Someone hum Amazing Grace.
Okay.
The symbolism of the Holy Spirit descending on Jesus like a dove, I believe, was very intentional. This will go away in a minute. A dove represents two things. It represents purity, and it represents gentleness. Jesus didn't come being harsh. And I think you and I need to take a lesson from that. Jesus didn't come being harsh. John the Baptist was harsh. The prophets were harsh. But Jesus came gentle. He was pure, he was holy, but he was gentle. Jesus didn't come to stir everything up, though his truth did. He didn't come to upset people, though his holy presence did. We need to take a lesson from that and realize that Jesus was gentle. Amen? The Holy Spirit is gentle. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, I was born again 31 years ago in the Pentecostal way. And I got to tell you something, it got pretty crazy back in the 60s and 70s. But you know what? The Holy Spirit doesn't always make you jump and shout and carry on. The Holy Spirit is very gentle. He's a helper. He's one who puts his arms around us and loves us and helps us and nurtures us. You know, I like the jumping and shouting. I like the dancing part. But I need the Holy Spirit to be gentle with me and to bring me into purity on a daily basis. Amen? Hallelujah. Jesus came in purity with a message of love. I don't know about y'all, but My first church experience was very legalistic. And just thinking about the love of God, just I couldn't handle that. I couldn't understand because it all had to be rules and regulations and do it this way and do it that way. And it took a long time for me to understand what this scripture meant, that God so loved me that he gave his only begotten son. God loves us in such a way, he wants to work with us. He wants to bring us into a place of perfection. God doesn't come snapping a whip at us and slapping us around. He says, I want you to do this thing, and I want to show you how to do it. Jesus is God's ultimate demonstration of love. Are you out there? Jesus is God's ultimate demonstration of love, and that he was sent to die for us. If you've got your Bible, turn to the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 8. I love this scripture. I read this scripture 30 years ago, and I've never recovered from it. See, maybe you're one of those folks that were just plain good. You were sitting on the corner. You were just so good, God had to pick you up and save you. I was not one of them people. I was nasty. I had a lot of bad things going on. Amen? I did God no favors whatsoever by entering his kingdom. But the Apostle Paul says God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners. There I am. I'm quoting King James. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. See, I just let me say this real quick if I can. I don't know if I can say anything quick, but God didn't wait for me to stop taking my drugs before he introduced his power into my life. God didn't wait for me to quit fornicating before he saved me. God was revealing himself to me while I was living a life that was an abomination and a stench in the nostrils of God. While I was stealing and lying and fornicating and doing all those things, Jesus Christ died for me. And when I read that and I began to grasp that, it just totally blew me away. While I was using his name as a curse word to somebody, he was dying for me. There's an old, old, old Christian song. I'll tell you how old it is. They wrote it while I was first got saved. That's a long time ago. But there's a line in it, Brother David said, while I was he was on the cross, I was on his mind. You know, when Jesus hung on that cross and he cried out, Father, forgive them. You know, people say, well, that was the Romans, that was the Jews. That was all of mankind. Father, forgive them. Because 2,000 years ago, Jesus was looking 2,000 years in the future. When he looked at me and he looked at you and he looked at you and said, forgive him. He doesn't even know what he's doing. Hallelujah. We need to be able to share this love of Jesus. When God spoke, I want to say something that's held here, another principle. When God spoke and made his announcement about his pleasure with Jesus, he wasn't speaking necessarily for the sake of the crowd. Think about this. God spoke directly to Jesus, and he encouraged him to fulfill the difficult task that God had laid before him. When God spoke, he says, this is. He was talking to Jesus. God does not necessarily or hardly ever show his power and glory just so he can show off to the crowds. I have a personal problem, and I don't know if you share it, but when I see people anointed of God who want to play to the crowd, who want to make people happy, who want to get a big fancy thing going, God was speaking here to Jesus. He wasn't trying to stir up a big crowd. Can someone say amen? Hallelujah. God gives the anointing and approval for the sake of expanding his kingdom, not for entertainment. Hallelujah. Now, again, Brother Dave and I were sharing a lot about worship yesterday, and I think you all know my feelings about it. I believe there's two kinds of Christian music. Well, there's probably three, but I'll leave it with two. One is worship. Another is entertainment. But I think we just simply got to declare it to be what it is. If it's entertainment, let's be entertained. It's okay. But if it's worship, let's worship. But let's not try to mix the two together, okay? Hallelujah. God does not give us the anointing to pray for the sick. God does not give the anointing to speak in tongues. God does not give us the anointing to interpret dreams so we can entertain the troops or entertain the people. Amen? We're here to expand the kingdom of God. God will provide personal increase when it's needed for the expansion of the kingdom. Hallelujah. God will expand your gifting. God will expand your ministry. God will expand your influence when it's needed to expand the kingdom of God, not just to make you popular. Hallelujah. For the most part, we do not use all the gifting God gives us. One of the gifting that we have, I mentioned it earlier, is a thing called abstract reasoning. Okay? We tend to put everything very concrete. If you listen to the teachings of most of the church world, we've just forgotten all about the fact that there's a Trinity and that the Holy Spirit does this and Jesus does that. It's sort of like the church has got Asperger's. We just, everything is concrete anymore. I don't know about y'all, but I miss the mystique of the presence of God. I miss that glory that comes into our life, and we don't have to name it and say, well, this is this and this is this. We can just have the presence and the power of Jesus. Hallelujah. And when we worship Christ, when we worship God, and the power of the Holy Ghost is just released into the church, oh, hallelujah. We need to enjoy that. Not worry about what gift he's bringing or how he's going to expand the ministry. Amen? Hallelujah. People today, in general, a generalized term, people today are less likely to simply accept the faith or traditions of another generation. We talk about expanding the kingdom of God. We talk about bringing others into the kingdom of God. Today's generations are less likely to simply accept something because you said it. Amen? They want proof. They want someone to say, well, why? How's that happen? We need, hallelujah, we need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that skepticism. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to ask those harder questions that people are asking today. And I really believe in my whole heart that the world around us needs those answers. We need to be quick to be able to give those answers. We need to have the anointing of God moving through us. And when someone says, how does this work? We have an answer for them. Amen? I'm not saying you all have to go to Bible college, but we need to have a working knowledge of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. People in today's world are much more exposed to religion than they ever have been before. So there's a lot of religious questions. We need to be able to know how to answer religious questions. Amen? We need to know who our God is. I got to tell you right now, this whole generic term, God, we need to come back as a Christian church and begin to define what that means. Because everyone uses the same word. Is it the same God? Are they doing the same thing? We got to know what we're talking about. My God is God the Father. But there's also Jesus the Son. There's also the Holy Spirit. I had a man one day say, you have three gods. I said, no, sir, you got the wrong idea. Hallelujah. If the church today is going to be successful in introducing the masses to the kingdom of God, we're going to have more than just a simple generic God, small g. It's going to take more than veiled references to God. Now, I got to tell you something. When God, I got a statement I'm going to make here. I want to set you up for it. But when God got ready to expose the world to ministry, he didn't let them just sit there with a generic God. He showed us that this is my chosen. He identified Jesus. The Holy Spirit was present. God was speaking. Now, let me show you something real quick here. I've said all that to say this. That Jesus was called and approved by God. He was empowered by the Holy Spirit. And he served a hurting and lost world. See, there was four things that was going on here. When the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost came together, the result was ministry. I want you to think about this. There was no ministry, so to speak, that the ministry of Jesus had not happened yet. But when God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit got together, the result was ministry to the masses. Hallelujah. Jesus was called and approved by God, empowered by the Holy Ghost, and he served a hurting and lost world. Now listen, the world around us is hurting. The world around us is lost. And it's going to take more than a little generic religiosity to break the powers of darkness in Honesdale and surrounding areas. Can someone say amen? It's going to take more than just a little scripture verse here and there or a little song here and there. Amen? God has a model for ministry. It's the same today as it was back then. Now, So I'm going to say amen because I'm almost done. We have Jesus within us by virtue of the new birth. We talk about getting born again. We're talking about receiving Christ within us. It's a long story I won't get into, but just the same as when the angel came upon Jesus and or upon Mary and said, the Holy Ghost is coming upon you and you'll be with child. When the Holy Ghost comes upon us, Jesus is deposited within our spirit. Hallelujah. And because of that born again experience, I got the essence of Jesus within me. With that, we need God's acknowledgement and approval upon the Jesus within us. It's not enough. Please deal with me. We got to get born again. We need to be forgiven. But there's more to it. Because once we're born again, we need the hand of God upon what he's done in us. It's not just meant to come to an altar someplace, say a prayer, and sit down in a chair for the rest of your life. God has called us to do great things. He's called us to change the world. But we need God's acknowledgement. And we need his approval. Amen? We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit to come upon us. If Jesus did no ministerial works without the presence of the Holy Spirit, what makes us think we're different? I want you to think about that. Those three working together in unity will produce ministry. It will produce change. It will produce a ministry that can be measured. It can produce change that you can identify. Amen? Not just any ministry, but it will produce a ministry that changes the world around us. See, I don't know about y'all, but just coming to church. And by the way, thanks for coming out today. A lot of snow and ice out there. I appreciate that. But just coming to church is not the answer. Quite honestly, after 31 years of doing this, if all there is just coming to church, I probably should be doing something else on my Sunday mornings. I want to see my city change. I want to see the town I live in change. I want my neighbors forever changed. I want the teachers, the police, the fire. I want my city changed by the power and presence of God. Can someone say amen? I want to see a change that can be measured. I want to see a change that brings new life. I want to see a change that lasts. I'm not talking about something that feels good one day and go on the next. I want to see lasting change. Jeff, could you play the piano for me back here? Hallelujah. Jesus came into this world with all the authority, all the approval, and all the power of God. When Jesus stepped into ministry, he had all of those three things. Amen? He changed the world like no other before him and like none other has done since him. Hallelujah to God. I want to tell you something about Jesus today. Once you meet him, you can never be the same. You can run. You cannot hide. You can move back, but you're going to get drawn back to him. I'm convinced of this. It's just my personal opinion. If I can share a simple one sentence of scripture with someone, Brother Tom, no matter what their life is, if I can share one little bit of God's truth, even just in passing, their life will never be the same again. Once you infuse something supernatural like the Word of God into a life, it works in them. And it works in them. And it works in them. It's the seed we talked about last week, planted into the soul of a human being. We water it by witnessing and our good works, but Jesus, God, power of the Holy Spirit, causes growth. Our job is to plant that seed. I wonder if we dare to try to change our world any other way. Hallelujah. You and I, folks, and this is where I want to end today. You and I need the same authority. We need the same approval. We need the same power. We are no different. Our programs will not change the city we live in. Our well-intentioned and well-meaning works will not change the city we live in. Our schools will not change because we want them to. Our workplaces will not become better simply because we think they should be better. We must introduce the power and authority of God into our society. And when we do, it'll produce the same results with the power and authority and approval of God. We can change our world. See, that's what I believe the church needs to be about doing, changing the world. Let's just bow our heads for a moment. Hallelujah. You go home this afternoon. I want you to go home and enjoy yourself as much as you can. A lot of people are going to be shoveling snow, watching football, having a good time. That's good. But during the week, I want you to consider this. How can what I do during the week change the world around me? Apostle Paul wrote, says, "Know ye not you have the mind of Christ?" We have the essence of Jesus within us. With that, we could change the world. Father, in Jesus' name, help us to change our world. Help us, Father God, to be in the right place at the right time with the right thing to say or the right thing to do that will forever change the people around us. Father, we seek your approval. We seek to move in your authority. And we seek to minister with your power. I pray for the same anointing, the same empowerment that you released upon our Lord Jesus Christ to flow upon your church again. As a corporate body, as individuals, that Lord, we actually can make and will make a measurable difference in our city. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe upon him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Let us not forget our vision. Let us not forget our goal. Let us not forget our purpose for even living. Father, make a way for us to share our faith, to share the love of Jesus with a hurting and dying world. Father, as we leave this place, I pray, Lord God, that your hand would be upon us strongly. I pray our lives would be brought to a place that they would be acceptable in your sight. I pray that the Holy Spirit would make changes in us that need to be made, changing and rearranging, remaking us into the image and likeness of Jesus Christ. Help us to cooperate with you, Lord. Help us to cooperate in the change process. And help us to share it with our neighbors. In Jesus' name, let's stand to our feet. Father God, I pray you go with us, lead us and guiding us. I prophesy health, wealth, success on the people of God. Father, we seal every prayer that we've prayed, every healing we've asked for, every miracle we need, we believe is coming to pass right now. As we leave this place, Father God, let us go into your presence, changing the world around us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Come out next week expecting hopefully the weather will be better. We believe we'll see what God's going to do next week. Amen.